We're going to read tonight in the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, and we're going to take the thought tonight, His hand, the mighty angel's hand. So God's just good to us on opening up the Word of God. Now we're going to begin reading again in the first verse of this chapter. And as you know, I wish we all could quote the whole thing by heart, because I think we'll need it just in the very near future to understand God's further revelation. And it says here, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." Now notice that word feet signifies both of his foot. And verse 2 it says, "And he had in his hand a little book open." Now watch, I want you to catch this very carefully, the next part. "And he set his right foot up on the sea, and his left foot on the earth." Now, I want you to notice real carefully here how he distinct the right foot and the left foot. And I also want you to notice in... Did I say it wrong? Foot or feet, I always do. Amen. All right, notice his left foot. His left foot and his right foot. But the thing I want you to notice in this is how he differentiates here between the left and right. The left foot and the right foot. His left foot, right foot on sea, and his left foot on the earth. Now, just because he has two feet, it would mean also that he has two hands, wouldn't it? But I want you to notice something in this tonight, as the Holy Spirit will help us all. I believe He will. That there is no differentiation at all, if that's the right word. I better watch fourth grade using them big fifth grade words here. There is no differentiation at all between the left hand and the right hand. Now this will mean something in here. Why God took the time in this chapter of the Bible to make sure to distinct between the left foot and the right foot. He took great pain to do this. It's recorded right there, and it's for a purpose. But he did not distinct between his left hand and his right hand. And when it's recorded in this here, the mighty angel's hand is spoke of only singular as one hand. Now I want you to notice that. You read the chapter with me, and we'll follow that through in just a little while. Now, the dialogue in verse 5 records the mighty angel raising his right hand to heaven. But King James here only says hand. But we know that anyone taking a vow or swearing would raise the right hand. But the other places where hand is mentioned, it is mentioned in the singular. And there is no mention of hands as though the angel had two hands. But we know it did. We know he did, because this typifies the spiritual coming of the Lord to make up the body of Jesus Christ in the earth. And his foot on the sea, signifying the sea of people, was the first leg of his coming at
Pentecost.
How many of you see that? First leg of his coming at Pentecost. But the last, his left foot was put upon earth, signifying his coming in the last day, and the main impact of it would be in the Western world, because the Eastern people receive the impact of his first coming at Pentecost. All right, but the mighty angel came down with a book in his hand that was open. And verse 3 said, and he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Seven thunders uttered their voices. And we, thanks be to God, we know what that seven voices and so forth means. Amen. And how well I can remember tonight, the very day the Holy Spirit opened this up. And each one of us, I suppose, can remember the day we had the outing over at Blackman State Park, I believe the last day. We played some ball over there, and Brother J.T. and all of them came with us. We preached the message that evening after coming back to church on redemption claim. How many remember that? Redemption claim, and brought in the seven spirits of God, how they were seven spiritual beings that makes up the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That very day, the Holy Spirit opened it up and cleared it up to us, which has to do with the voices of the seven thunders that God is going to make known to the bride to give her rapture and faith to get her out of here. All right, verse 4, it continues, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to rise. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Now I want to stop here on this and notice the mighty angel as his coming took place. It is spread out over the entire period of the church age. As one foot was put on sea on the early Pentecostal age, the other one's put on earth in the last days. Amen. Those seven angels came during that seven periods. If you remember how we laid the seven books out and showed you. Amen. But with the full impact of it is to be right here in this age. The full impact of what has been done all down through the ages, what God has been accomplishing in part, will be done in the fullness of the power of Jesus Christ to an end-time church that's alive. Amen. In this hour. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right, those things are being cleared up to God's children. Amen. And you may wonder why such emphasis on this and all, but you will understand, amen, because you have the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 5. All right, verse 5, it says, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. And this is the second time hand is mentioned. And this time in the original Greek, it specifies here that he raised his right hand. But on the other places where a hand is spoken of, it does not specify neither left hand nor right hand, but the hand of the angel. Now, we know that the hand of the angel, in figurative speaking and in type form, and you've got to speak of this chapter in type form because there is not a great man coming out of heaven and putting one foot on land, one on sea. It's only a spiritual happening that John sees here. Amen. Can you say amen? All right, when the hand is spoken of, it isn't distinct which hand that has the book, which hand that he does this, that, or the other, except in this one place here. And reading from King James, it don't do it there, but the dialogue does, as we said. And he swore, this is the reason he signified right hand, because he's swearing that time is no more. And we'll get to the reason of this in just a moment. And he swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things therein are, and the earth and the things therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared unto the servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again. Now I'm glad we believe in one God, because here's one standing on earth that is Jesus Christ in the spiritual form to make up the bride, the seed. But there is one speaking to John, being a type of the bride, saying, go and take the little book. Now listen as we read it. And the voice I heard from heaven spake again, unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth up on the sea and up on the earth. Now I want you to notice that. The angel which standeth up on sea and up on earth has a book in his hand. It doesn't say he have a book in his hands, but it says he has a book in his hand. And in neither place in here it speaks, it does not distinct hand. It doesn't say he have a book in his hands, but it says he has a book in his hand. And in neither place in here it speaks, it does not distinct hand. Which hand? It only says hand and not hands. Amen. Whereas it's speaking of feet, it clearly distinct which one is speaking of. Amen. Now there's got to be a reason. I believe the Word of God is greatly inspired. I believe when John was writing this to send to the churches that he was absolutely Holy Ghost led. Somebody said concerning the book of Revelation that it is the only book in the Bible that Jesus himself was the author of. Because here is why I say that, or here's why I partly agree with that. Though I believe that Jesus is the author of the entire Bible, we find in every book of the Bible the personality of the person that wrote it, don't we? We can read St. Paul's writing, whether it's got his name on it or not. We can say St. Paul wrote this. This is the writing of St. Paul. And it can, and especially the New Testament writers. Paul says, I give my judgment. This is not me, but it's I believe it's the Lord on one place. And then one place he said, I don't have any commandment of the Lord, but I give you my thoughts. See what I'm saying? But the book of Revelation is the direct thoughts of God without human nature being injected into it. You don't find John's nature injected into the book of Revelation, because he only wrote what he saw. He wrote what happened to him. It is a revelation of God to the church. And that makes it all the more beautiful in this hour. Because we're not seeing the person of John. We're not seeing the person of Peter. We're not seeing the person of St. Paul. But we're seeing the person of Jesus Christ in revelation form to the church. Praise God. How many understand why I said that? We see the person of Jesus Christ in revelation form to the church by reading the book of Revelation. Much of it symbolical. But it's a person of Jesus Christ. And here John writes about what he saw. Amen. And the angel had a little book in his hand. Now, why is God so careful to distinct whether it's the left foot or right foot? What's the meaning behind this? When he makes no attempt at all to distinct between the left hand and the right hand. The little book in the hand of the mighty angel. In what hand? It gives no indication whatsoever which hand it is. Fact is, by reading this, you couldn't prove he had but one hand. Because there's no S on it anywhere it's mentioned, just the mighty angel's hand. There must be a reason for it that the Holy Ghost, if we are the bride people, will convey to us the meaning of it in this hour. Do you believe God? Do you believe God's able to convey meanings to us of the Scripture, though it was wrote almost 2,000 years ago in this hour of almost total unbelief of the Word? The Holy Ghost is still the interpreter of the Word. The Holy Ghost is still able to reach down into the Word of God and pull out things that was wrote in symbolical form and make clear to an end-time people. I believe if God's able to tell us what the feet on land, on sea means, I believe God's able to tell us about the hand and why the hand was spoke out in a singular sense of the word and did not distinct left or right. Amen. All right, let's read further now in getting to the end of this chapter. But since verse 8 speaks of the book in the hand of the angel, I want to read over that part at least. Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand. Now notice that. I took the little book out of the angel's hand. Glory to God. The Word of God teaches the church to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. Amen. It says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Amen. God will raise you up if you'll be humble. Humble yourselves under the hand of God. Amen. Now this is symbolical. There is not a literal angel standing on land and sea. This spanned a period of 2,000 years. There is not a little book open in the hand of an angel or Christ. This is symbolical to convey to us in the Spirit what God is doing. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Symbolical. And why the seven spirits is mentioned, seven thunders, it covered the entire seven church age period. Amen. But in the hand I went, John being a type of the bride here, I went and took the book out of the angel's hand. Now notice, he never one time indicated which hand. I took the book out of the angel's hand, and it's speaking as though he only had one hand. But he was not a perversion of nature, or freak of nature rather, and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, this is speaking of the church now, John being the type here, It says, "And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kindreds." Amen. Now I want you to notice that after they took the book out of the hand of the angel. Praise the Lord. Now, amen, I want to refer to a couple of places now without making a long scriptural exhortation of what the covering all the scripture where it says hand and so forth like that, because it would be hours of it. And still it probably wouldn't prove anything. Amen. But the Holy Spirit has got to reveal to us the revelation of the Word. How many knows it? It isn't just going over a whole lot of scripture, but I believe that we ought to have our revelation all scripture based. Now, it is commonly taught and believed among the children of God, and a true revelation it is, that the hand represents the ministry. Because, let me give you this illustration of a natural type, how we use our hands. We use our hands to cleanse our body, don't we? Amen. To wash ourselves. And without our hands, we would be helpless. Amen. And when Elijah was on the mountaintop in the book of Kings, we find there, well, we could refer to that or read it, but I don't know if it would be necessary to read it, but maybe I'll tell you where it's found in Kings. Here, where Elijah went on the mountaintop, it's in 1 Kings, in chapter 18, where Elijah went upon the mountaintop. And he prayed. And it haven't been any rain for a long time. And he told his servant, said, "Go and look for rain," as he told Elijah, the king Ahab that it was going to rain, get into Jezreel. And remember, this is the ending up of Elijah's ministry. This is the ending up of Elijah's ministry. He went after praying, after the long dry spell, he saw a cloud like a man's hand. Amen. Like a man's hand. Glory to God. And he told Ahab, "Get into Jezreel, because I hear the sound of abundance of rain." But where did the cloud rise from? It rose out of the sea. Sea signifies multitudes of people. The cloud about the size of a man's hand. Then, referring to hand again, Jesus went into the temple on the Sabbath day. There was a man with a withered hand. And the Pharisees and Sadducees, they begin to question of whether Jesus would heal on the Sabbath day or not. And there was the man with a withered hand looking for the mercy of the Lord. This is in Matthew's. And they were wondering, is he going to heal on the Sabbath day? That we've got 6 days for healing and carrying on this. We ought to respect the Sabbath. That was their thought. But Jesus looked upon them in anger because of the hardness of their heart. And he told a man, "Stretch forth thy hand, and it was made whole like the other one." Praise the Lord. Amen. That's in the book of Matthew there. I've got a marking here in my Bible where it's found. But rather, well, it's in Matthew 12 here. Let me just read it since I turned to it here. It says, "And when he was departed thence, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is the man better than the sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day? Then said he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Amen. And another writer says he looked upon them with anger. But I want you to notice here, the hand was restored like the other. Amen. Withered hand. Glory to God. And immediately the Pharisees and Sadducees, they went about to destroy him because the hand was restored. Amen. Glory to God. And the hand is to be restored in this hour to ministry. Now, I want to tie this hand here with the ministry of Christ. Amen. As recorded in the book of Ephesians 4, there is recorded a ministry that has not been talked about very much until recent years. It's begun to be talked about more and more and more of a fivefold ministry. I read Frank Bartleman's book, On Another Way Roll In, which was a step-by-step detailed account of what happened on Azusa Street and the restoration of the Pentecostal blessing. When I finished it, my thinking on the fivefold ministry and so forth, you know the teaching on it, I was somewhat amazed to know that not one time, amen, I believe Brother Zimmer read it, Brother Zimmer, not one time was there any mentioning of a ministry of this type at all. Not one time. But in the last few years, it has become more talked about. And now, since God has took the Seventh Church Age Messenger off the scene, it has begun to be talked about in the inner circles of the bridegroom. Amen. But seemingly, a revelation, a full revelation of it has never struck. Amen. Glory be to God. Alright, we find here in Ephesians 4, God laying down a formula whereby He could perfect His church. And the Bible teaches that when He ascended on high, led captive, and gave gifts unto men. And then He goes on and tells about the specific gifts and what the gifts was to build the church up into. This is the book of Ephesians 4. Alright. Amen. Here we find in the mighty angel's hand was the Word of God. Amen. I want you to notice that. In the mighty angel's hand was the Word of God. In the mighty angel's hand was a book, and the book was open. Amen. In the mighty angel's hand. Now we wonder here in reading this, since every word, the way it's written, all about it, it means something for the bride. We wonder why God didn't distinct left hand and right hand, but only angel's hand. Amen. It tells us precisely one thing. Amen. Praise God, though the ministry that struck the world in the eastern part of the world on the day of Pentecost, and there followed a ministry, a fivefold ministry in the making, though the same power of the Holy Spirit was to strike the earth in the western hemisphere, which is called earth, where He put His left foot, the ministry would be the same. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to get that revelation. The ministry would be the same. Hallelujah. It would be a fivefold ministry in the eastern part of the world, and it would be a fivefold ministry in the western part of the world. There is absolutely no distinction whether it's left or right. Now, if He had distinct left and right, then there would have to be a distinction in the ministry and what the ministry would do. Amen. Do you see that? Ephesians 4 gives a uniform, step-by-step, detailed outline of what God intended to use to perfect the church. Now the perfecting of the saints lasts from the beginning of the church all the way up to now. That has been perfecting. That has been a movement. That has been what God's been doing for the church. But here in the last days, it shows Christ in with both foot on earth. Amen. Both of his feet on earth. One on land and one on sea. Amen. Just standing like this. Let me illustrate it to you here. Amen. His right foot up on the sea. His left foot upon the earth. But he had in his hand, singular, in his hand a little book. Meaning and showing here, the hand represents the fivefold ministry. Amen. The hand represents the fivefold ministry. That's why God said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Amen. There was no distinction in the hand. There's a recording in Hebrews, the 17th chapter, or the 13th chapter, the 17th verse, says, obey them that have rule over you. Amen. For they watch for your soul, that they must give an account for you. Amen. That they might do it with joy and not with grief. Amen. Showing that the church has got to be led by the ministry of the Lord. Hallelujah. Showing that there is no distinction between the first church age ministry and the last church age ministry. Showing that the fivefold ministry that was in effect to perfect the first church, the same fivefold ministry is in effect to perfect the last day church. Amen. Had he said in the Word of God here that in his left hand he had a book, or in his right hand he would have a book, then we would have ground to speculate and to search out different revelation for this age than they had there as to God's way of perfecting the church. Amen. But the great holy God of heaven that wrote this left no room for speculation. That's why he said hand. That's why he did not distinct left or right. Amen. The hand of the mighty angel had a book and it was open. Amen. Now if the revelation of remember the feet is right, and it could hardly be questioned under the light of the revelation that God has made known. It could hardly be questioned by anybody with a mind that's able to grasp revelation. Once reading the book of Acts, the early Pentecostal church had the power of the living God. Amen. Then we have all the reason to believe that when the church received from the hand of the angel what's wrote in the little book, it will produce the same thing as it did in the early church. Let me tell you something. There is to be a powerful group of people march through this land one more time. Amen. The church is to have the power of Almighty God. Hallelujah. The church is to be absolutely led by the leadership in the ministry. Amen. And you will find it in the Word of God. Amen. That is the very reason the word hand is spoke of singular and never any distinction made. Because he don't want you to see two hands. He wants you to see only one hand. He don't want you to see two formulas of perfecting the saints. He only wants you to see one formula of perfecting the saints. Amen. What is recorded in Ephesians 4 still stands out today as the hand of the Lord. Oh, praise be to God, the hand of Almighty God. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and some teachers, a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. And the mighty angel had the word in his hand. Amen. In the hand of Christ, in the spiritual realm. And I trust that you'll get your mind off the natural enough to see I'm speaking in a spiritual sense. Amen. The hand of the Lord was not distinct in all the 2,000 years. Amen. Notice only at the end time after the seven messengers have come. I want to leave some thoughts with you. Amen. At the end of the age, after the seven ages have come and gone, after the seven spirits of God has witnessed in the earth, after all of this, the bride sees the hand of the Lord again. She did not see the hand of the Lord through any of these times when the Holy Spirit was only witnessing in part. The Bible declares that we could see through a glass. It was dark. We could look back in the first church age and glean little things. We were like looking through a dark glass and see what the church was then. And we could in our mind vaguely visualize what it ought to be in this hour. But now, once the seven thunder voices have uttered themselves out and made themselves plain, the hand of the Lord is here again. And it's the same hand of God that had the brook in the first church age. Hallelujah. The mighty angel back on earth again. Amen. Not in part. Amen. Now you can study on this next week. You guys know this is going to take some time to make an impression on your mind, that you can glean the fullness of it. Amen. We see Jesus Christ in the church, in the first church age, but we do not see Jesus Christ in the church, any other church age to that extent. Only it's promised again at the end time. Now I know we point back to Luther's revival, sure. A message came forth. The voice of God thundered forth. We point to Wesley. Wrote 12 volumes of books and preached 3 or 4 times a day. Rode a horse 4,500 miles a year, I believe, or maybe or something anyway. I don't know the details, but great things he did. We point back to 1906 at the great Pentecostal meeting. We point to Brother Branham as he brought a revival that swept the world. Amen. But still we've got to look beyond that to see the church, to see Jesus Christ, to see the seed. Now I want to stop here and show you something. How that many times we let the Holy Spirit pass us by. As the two disciples on the way to Emmaus, they talked all day with Jesus and didn't know Jesus was talking to them. They thought, well, there's something unusual about that word, man's word. Because after all, we did have a little warm feeling in our heart. Our heart burned while he talked. But they didn't know who he was until he opened the book, the Bread of Life, speaking in the hopes that the Holy Spirit would let you see what the seed of God is. It is Jesus Christ, and you've got to be a member of His body. Amen. The seed has come back again in this last day, and God will honor only one thing, that's the seed. You've got to be in Jesus Christ, in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And there's only one way the body of Christ gleans the doctrinal revelation of what God is doing. There's only one way the body of Christ gleans the leadership of the direction to go in, and it's the same way that they did in the early church. Can you say amen? Oh, you say, Brother Howard, my faith just, it sounds good, but my faith just won't let me go that high. Amen. Jesus said here, the Spirit of God did, the little book would taste sweet. It would sound good. But when it began to be applied, then it would begin to get bitter. Amen. The hand of the mighty angel represents one ministry. That is the reason they did not distinct as the foot or each one of his feet. He put one foot on land, one on sea, signifying two separate, distinct comings of his spirit to the earth. Can you not see that? But when it spoke in relationship to the hand, he did not speak of it as two separate and distinct things. He only spoke of it as only one thing. When he ascended on high, he left the ministry in the earth, and though men never was able, because of the fall away of the church, to come into this, the ministry still remains the same thing. And would you please note, when Jesus Christ came back in the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, it not only was in a different geographical area than what we're in now, it was to a different race of people. When Jesus spoke to his disciples, he said unto them, "Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go not to the Samaritans. Go not to any of these, but go only to the house of Israel." And the Holy Ghost came and were offered to the Jews first. Remember, in reading the book of Acts, Paul's custom was always to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Amen. Glory to God. Showing that the distinction of the right foot and the left foot, and what each one meant in relationship to the church, to the revelation of God, that it was to be applied to a different people, a different place, but when it comes to the hand, the ministry, it's all the same thing. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. The same fivefold ministry that was given to perfect the first church is the same fivefold ministry that's given to perfect the church at the end time. Because it is the only ministry that was ever given. Amen. Now, oh, thank God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And what will it do? The early church, after sitting under the ministry, went forth with the power of the Lord. And the power of the Lord was in the ministry to execute God's Word, to bring to pass what was written in the Word for the church to do. Now, I would to God we had time tonight, but I will refer briefly to Revelation chapter 18 again to bring it in on this. Where there in Revelation 18, time is no more. I hope you see tonight what the Holy Spirit has revealed to this little church here, to this little group of people. Amen. See where God let us know what it's meant by time is no more, what it's meant by Babylon is fallen, what it's meant by the roaring of the lion, what it's meant by one foot on land, one on sea. Amen. And also what it meant by here the little book in his hand. Several messages here. One message, each little book. One message, sweet to the mouth and bitter to the belly. And tonight, the angel's hand. But notice this. Once they ate the book, they were to be witnesses unto nations. I'm going to read verse 11, and if I weren't preaching to a congregation that's very much acquainted with what Ephesians 4 said, I would read that, and maybe I will. But notice the angel's hand is only one hand singular. And this is talking about the spiritual body of the Lord in the earth. One hand. Ephesians 4 is still applicable. Can you say amen? Ephesians 4 is still applicable. There is not a separate formula for the end time. Let me say that again. There, despite God sending a church age messenger for this hour, with great power, with great wisdom, opening up the Word, it did not change. It did not change it. It only helped to restore it back. There's one hand. The same as the early church had. That's why the prophet of God cried so many times, go back to the Bible. Go back to the Word. Stay with it. I hardly hear anyone anymore preach on the Corinthians, where we're members of His body, and so forth and so on, making up the body of Christ and the gifts in the body and all this. But it's applicable for this hour. It's applicable for this hour. That is the only thing God will recognize as a church. Anything outside of that falls under the same category of Babylon. Confusion. Not in the Word. After the church eats the book, they receive the revelation from the ministry. Then here's what we're to be. It says, and he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues. Oh, church, tonight, can you see this? Can you lift your sights a little higher? Amen. Can you get your thinking out of the rut and out of the defeatist attitude? Amen. And see victory and great victory for those that will stay true to God's Word and find God's way. A great people and a strong. There has not been ever the like, which tells me one thing. The hand of that mighty angel, that same hand that was stretched out to that early church, did not receive the full benefit of what was in the hand of that angel. Amen. There has never been a people like this people. You read the book of Acts and you'll say there couldn't be a church that great anymore. There couldn't be anything happen. But that's quite contrary to the Word. The glory of the latter house shall outshine the glory of the former house. But if you read the book of Acts, they were persecuted. They hid away in their places to worship. Amen. And there was great trouble, great persecution, famine. Amen. But there was a powerful people in the Lord that knew Jesus Christ and Him alone. Now, I want to show you something. Amen. If you believe God ever spoke to me, you believe me now when I'm saying this. And I've told it before and preached it. One evening, sitting back in the office, and I didn't know this. Something came up on me, just seemed to come across upon me. I can't explain all the feelings that were involved. But a voice began to speak to my soul, and I could repeat every word that was said, or write down every word that was said. And here's what it began to say. concerning what we've just read tonight, time is no more. Read Revelation chapter 2. And those were the words that begin like that. Told me the very verse, chapter, verse, all about it. I gave her space to repent in, and she repented not. And the same voice, whatever it was, and whoever it was, told me that same, when the angel raised his hand and swore that time is no more, the voice that spoke within my soul, that means that time for denominationalism is over. Time for the wheat and the tares can no longer grow together. I gave her space to repent in, but she repented not, and now it's time no more for her. Amen. Now you will have to take that for what you feel it's worth. But as Paul of old said, I speak the truth, I lie not. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that was said, and you've heard it preached down, and it ties together with the scripture, and you can see it's the truth, because when that mighty angel come down, what does he say? Babylon is fallen, proving that it was the truth, what was said unto me. Now watch. That mighty hand of the angel, it's the same ministry. But it has a job to do that early church did not have. It has to do with time is no more for denomination. Because you're in Joel 3, watch what it says. Because you're in Joel 3, watch what it says. A fire devoured before them. And behind them a flame burneth. Now watch. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them. Now I want you to look at the church world today. Look at the land today. It's like a Garden of Eden, isn't it? Like a Garden of Eden. Everybody seems to have it in denominationalism. It's pretty nice. They got all their fineries and so forth. But watch. It's like a Garden of Eden before this army. Before them and behind them a desolate wilderness. A fire devised before them, and a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them. Meaning there's going to be a thorough witness. Now don't you look out here and see if the land is burnt. That isn't what it's talking about. That isn't what it's talking about. It's talking about in the religious realm. In the religious realm, there's to be a people that come so much to God's Word and so much like Christ that even their lives, without saying anything, will so show up the false vine that all those with any spiritual insight will see. Nothing shall escape them. Not only that, the early church had the word to speak whatever God wanted. When all these things taking place, the Bible says the love of many is waxed cold. Because sin abound, the love of many was waxed cold. They betrayed one another, and you know how the prophecy goes. But when this day of darkness comes, there's got to be something take place among the realm of the people that's looking to God for leadership. Remember Brother Gerald Cleveland's dream
or a vision, whichever it was, which ever since he told it, I felt it was inspired of the Lord. He said on the mountain, they were coming on the road there, and the people were finding great pearls and nuggets, and they were rejoicing and all, and he stopped to see what they were finding. But one walked up to him and said, "You're finding nuggets here, but the real thing is in that mountain." But said, "No one ever goes up there because there's serpents in the mountain. There's serpents in the mountain." For this church to move from this point where she's at now, there's trouble, there's disappointment, there's heartaches, and all these things confront a people. But those with the Holy Ghost will keep trying to find that secret pathway, trying to find the way to get to that mountain. When I'm talking about that mountain, I'm talking about the real thing that God's got for the church. Started not to do it, but I feel led of the Holy Spirit at this time. Speak on a dream my wife had recently, because it includes a personal note. But the hour's late, friend. We need to see where we're at. My wife had a dream that there was a time of great trouble only a few weeks ago. And the people seem to be grouping off in little groups just everywhere. Little groups here and little groups there, and it seemed like it was total confusion. No one knew which way to go or what to do. And said, I stood up and began to try to tell each little group and get the group together, saying, this is what we have got to do. This is what we've got to do, seeing we're in a situation like we're in. Here is what we've got to do. And as I began to tell many, she said, there was, out of all the groups, there were several that listened and did what I said to do and so forth, and were getting along all right, but the most of the little groups continued in confusion, not knowing what had happened, not knowing what was going on in the leadership of the Lord, though there was trouble all around us. And she woke up, and a voice spoke, audible voice, while she was wide awake, and said, I have made him a watchman for your soul. People today can't see a New Testament ministry. I woke up some mornings back, and an audible voice came into the room, and I've heard the voice before many times over again. And the voice spoke and said, it is trickery. The voice did not have to say more, because I knew what it was talking about. It is, now you see where this puts me as people here. It has been totally trickery to New Testament people to follow an Old Testament prophet. They cannot come into the body of Christ except those that are specifically led by the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that? Amen, because it is said that the word don't come to nobody but a prophet. The word don't come to nobody but a prophet. God don't change his ways, and the word will never come to nobody but a prophet. God will use one man that will be a prophet, and the word will come to him, and he will get us out of this chaos that we're in. And those that don't say it that way, they say the word has come to the prophet and through the prophet. And that alone is what we will follow. Because it was vindicated, it had the sign. They cannot see a church building where the people come together and make up the body, the bride of Christ.
Church is going to be pure, that church is going to be clean. And I probably will speak again and refresh your mind and bring in more on the ministry as I give you ample time to think on the angel's hand. But in closing this lesson, I have brought this other in and you've lost the view of what we were saying. He identified the left foot. He identified the right foot. But when he spoke of hand, or the hand of the Lord, he spoke of it singular without identifying, left or right, meaning the same ministry for the early church is to be back again in the last day for the end time church. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for the Word of God.